what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus, has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just ask that for the remainder of this time, you continue to take control and have control of this service. Speak through this vessel. Open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things in a service, like what happened earlier, is we had somebody come up and give a word out in tongues. And if that stands alone, we're missing something. But then we got a word in the understanding. So we're in perfect order. Then we got another additional word. This is totally appropriate in the church. And we believe this is how the Spirit operates. This is one way in how the Spirit operates in the body. If you heard this for the first time, I hope it was a blessing to you. But the confirming part to me was that the message was in large part given. The first part of this message was given in the Word by the Spirit of God. It confirms, it tells me, wow, God is taking care of what I might have messed up with, what I might have slipped, what I might have forgot. And He dealt with it. And what a beautiful thing when He works in that fashion. Before I can even get into the Scripture, I have to go back to what we got earlier from the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" And in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." Psalm 27:8 says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Does that sound like anything that was taking place here at the altar? It's what I was feeling as I was getting all of this. And then Peter Falk read the Beatitudes for us in Matthew 5:6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." Thank you for that obedience to that reading of the Word, Peter. If I set out to hunger and thirst after God in my own strength, I can't do it. There is nothing in and of myself that gives me the ability to even know to reach out and call out to God. I believe it is the work of the Holy Spirit in me that brings me to that place. So how do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? There are characters in the Bible that actually demonstrated what that looked like. And sometimes the only way I can do it is when I'm at the end of myself. So when you know the story, there's a story in Matthew and there's a story in Luke. There's two separate stories, actually, of two women who show this picture of reaching out and calling out to God. One is the woman that has the issue of bleeding. And she'd been bleeding for 12 years. And she needed desperately to be healed. This could take her life at some point or make her extremely sick. And she sees Jesus, and she knows in her spirit, because I believe it's by the Spirit of God it was revealed to her, that if she could just get to this Jesus, this miracle worker, this man, this Son of God, and just touch even his garment, that she would be made well. The Bible goes on to say that she makes her way through the crowd, and she reaches and she touches the hem of his garment, and she is made well. The flow stopped. And Jesus had stopped also. And he said, "Who touched me?" For power had left him. You see, the Holy Spirit was at work in Christ always, but also in the person that hungered and thirsted after him. Then there's another story that talks about another woman. And there's two of these that happen in the Bible. I believe they're different stories. But she goes to a meeting where Jesus is reclining at the table. And she begins to anoint his feet with her tears and wipes his feet with her hair. The Bible says that this was an immoral woman. And she came to this place where she so desperately came after him that she would wipe a man's feet with her hair. And her heart was touched and broken that she would have tears on his feet. She had a way of pursuing God. She hungered and she thirsted after him, and I believe it was the Spirit of God that touched her heart that brought her to that place. He knows how to do that when we are in the depths of our circumstances and situations. So everything, Michael, you said about reaching through the cloud for the S-O-N, the clouds that come upon us in life, was such a beautiful thing because it is the Spirit of God that always points us to Christ. And I see that happening in this message today. Then there's another woman. And this one's not an evil woman, but she takes nard, spiked nard, and anoints Jesus' feet. And she too dries his feet with her hair. What humbling, what humility, what a beautiful picture of pursuing Christ. Now, how can I, without the power of God speaking through me, come to the place where I can humble myself before God like that? There is nothing in me that would bring me to that place. But the Spirit of God working in me can bring me to that place. He could bring me low. He could bring me real low, where it's before Him. I can bow down. It's what He does in my heart, and it's what He does in your heart. So before we even go on with this teaching today, we have to understand that before we can receive or do anything of value in the kingdom, we have to know that it's because of the call, it's because of the gifting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit of any kind of value or worth in God's eyes. Okay? So that's the foundation I wanted to lay before I got into this teaching. I'm just going to throw a couple more scriptures. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye." This is God talking. He does the instructing. He does the teaching. He does the directing. He does the guiding. And it's a beautiful thing because it takes the pressure off of me. And when I operate by that, my motives tend to be a little more pure. When I try to do it in my own strength, I come up short. And here's the scripture we all know so well that I believe sets the stage for this. And it's Ephesians 2:7. It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And you know the rest of this. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves." Your salvation has really very little to do with you. It has everything to do with you, but it has very little to do with you getting to that place. Because it was the Spirit of God who touched you because of grace. That word grace is so enormous, and we don't always really get the depth of it, but it is His pouring out His love for us. And how does it operate? By faith. Well, the Bible tells us even our faith is given to us in measure from God. He gives us all a measure of faith. He gives us the things like this world that we can look and see that there is a God. He did it. I don't come to God because there's something within me that says, yes, I'm going to do this on my own accord. I'm going to do this because I was called. And the only thing that God does for me then is He gives me the strength to answer the call that He gave to me. That's His grace. That's His grace. And then the message goes on from there. We go to the next verse, verse 10. And once we understand the grace of God, the works of God, the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives, now we're ready for the next part. And it says in verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, works matter. They matter especially and really only on the other side of what God has done in our hearts. Now my works matter. I could be a good Samaritan. I could do all kinds of really good things, and they don't amount to a hill of beans if I'm not in Christ. That sounds harsh. So let's move to some topics of the day. I want to talk about social justice today. I know people rise up. It's about time. Well, let me tell you about social justice. It means absolutely nothing if we don't have Christ in us. If we have Christ in us and we operate, He is just. There's nothing just in me. It is Him. I just heard this in the BCR room last week. It is Him in me. He is the one who's just. And if I'm operating in Him, remember last week we said, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me will bear much fruit." That's exactly what's happening here. It's what He did. And if I abide in Him, I will do good things. And they will have worth and matter because they came from Christ. But if I'm out there picketing, if I'm out there doing what appears to be good, if I'm out there loving my neighbor but not with a godly love, it doesn't add up. I know that seems confusing. It sounds difficult, but my motives get in the way of the purity of what God can do through me when it's about Him. Why do I love my neighbor? Well, he's got a really nice lawnmower, and if I connect with him, I'll get to use it. And I'm so sick of snow right now that his snowblower would be really nice to be able to... All right? I love my brother Mike. He's a black man. Yeah. Love my brother Mike, and you know what? I can treat him really good and be really cool, and by the way, find favor in the other people that are about this movement of being all socially just. Or I can love Mike because he's my brother in Christ, and we're knit together by a bond that only the Spirit of God can bring us. That's a totally different thing, and my motives are now erased from the equation. It's totally what the Spirit of God is doing. So, it's what Christ does through us by His Spirit. That's the foundation of all this that I'm chirping about right now. When we come to the place of works, I gotta start working out. I'm breathing hard already. And we start talking about an active pursuit. The first point I want to make that growing in Christ is an intentional and active pursuit of Him. I want to just really quickly say, before I get to that pursuit of God, I can only do that by the power of God. Okay? That's only by the power of God. That's the foundation that I'm establishing. Philippians 3:7 says, "But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." When I am operating by the Spirit of God, moved by the Spirit of God, the things of the world do grow strangely dim. They are like rubbish to me. Our life group really got off on this really well. We went into waste management and everything. Peter Falk's in our life group. Okay, I'm not going to stop right there. Really shouldn't have went there in the first place. And we're talking about waste management, and I lost myself. Oh, we'll come back to Pete. It's rubbish. That's right. The things of the earth are rubbish. They don't mean anything. It's like the trophies. This is really funny. Can I talk about the trophies again? Sally, my beloved, went down in the basement. She's going to get mad at me for saying this, but I'm still moving by the Spirit of God, not the flesh and blood, so I'll be okay. And she goes into the box that has the trophies to find that little trophy. I got to tell you this, though. She found one of her trophies, snaps a picture, sends it to all the family, and everybody knows that she was the conference champion, right? But we find her little trophy. You know what else I found in there? Just the parts that I didn't like. The mice found my trophies. Sorry, honey. Full disclosure. And I had them wrapped in paper, which became shredded stuff. Mice poop a lot. Talking about waste management. And they stained and tainted some of those that were in there, and I thought, what a perfect picture. What a perfect picture it is of us who go after. What's the word I'm looking for? Starts with a P. Pursue. And I mean nothing. I did look through an envelope and saw a picture of Greg Tice when he was about, he must have been in his 20s at that time. He had bigger hair than you have back in that day. But yeah, when we pursue stuff, and we pursue earthly things, they really don't matter much, do they? We make them so big. But when we pursue the eternal things, they matter much. Paul said he counted those things of the earth as rubbish. Even his faith that he had beforehand was like rubbish. It doesn't matter. His legalistic ways, his rules, his following the law was like rubbish. Because God's doing a new thing that's not rubbish. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This pressing on is something I said before, that this motivates me. I get moved when I'm told to dig in, press on. But I can't do it without Christ. There's no pressing on unless the Spirit of God is pressing in on me. When I said to the people up here at the altar, says, this is a good thing that you're coming up here. It's actually a good thing that you're experiencing a dry place, because God will show up in that dry place. God will show up at this altar because He's the one who presses on. And I can only, by the power of the Spirit of God operating through me, press into Him. You see? Everything that is good comes from Him. He's a good, good Father. That's a deeper statement than the song even. He's a good, good Father. He presses on that I might press on. Wow. Wow. I press for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is the upward call. In case you didn't know, the upward call is the prize. When you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enter into the work of God, that call, first the call to come to Him, but then the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, those calls are the prize. The rewards of those calls belong to God. So, when I operate, like what I'm doing right now, I'm operating in the call that was on my life. The worship team, Lucas, all of them were up here, they were operating in the call. That's the prize. Okay? The reward of how it affects you and me as we sit out there and enter into the worship, the reward of sharing the gospel with somebody and them coming to God is God's business. God will take care of the heart of those people. The call to you to come to Christ is the prize. When I came to Christ, it was a call on my life. And I felt it. And because I was simple, He let me feel it physically. And when I felt it physically, I could respond to it. If I tried to figure it out intellectually, which I tried to do, I got really nowhere. I can't think my way into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not smart enough. Neither is anybody else in here. I can't intellectualize my way into the kingdom. I can't come up with a quick scripture that causes somebody else to stumble and fall and think I know it all. like the Pharisees and the Sadducees would do, and enter the kingdom of heaven. Because they didn't enter with that strategy. Thank you, Jesus. I press towards a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is the upward call of God. The prize is the call itself. Just hang on to those thoughts. For me, the prize, in a lot of ways, is being able to run this race. To run this race is part of the prize. And as I run this race, you know what? I have those times that are really dry. They're arid. And I have to lean on Christ. I have those times that are painful and hurtful. And I have to lean on Christ. One of those stories that I just read to you, Jesus confronted the leaders that were in the house because they were saying, you could use this money for the poor. And he says, the poor you'll have with you always. You won't have me always. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are ahead. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This woman is answering the call on her life in front of all the affluent. She's answering the call, and she is in the race, and she didn't even know it because God was at work. Puts her face down towards the man's feet. And the tears that come from her, which are probably stirred up by the Spirit of God as well, to wash his feet. You know what the feet were like of men in that day? They wore sandals. There's dust and dirt and sand everywhere. Foot washing was a big deal. But to do it with your tears and with your hair, she was in the call. She was running the race. And I want to someday myself be able to run a race like that. I want to run that kind of a race where I am so at the end of myself that I run it differently because it's about what he does. Think about that question. Are you at the end of yourself? I go every Thursday, not every Thursday night, I go to about 60% of the Thursday nights and I see people. We're at that place, the dry, thirsty land, and I look at him and I watch what God is doing, and I'm so excited because he's called them to that place and he's about to do something in them, and many of them he already has, but I just see it was that place that helped set the tone for what he was going to do in their life. We do go through hard times. Boy, we're so open to receive what he has for us. Thank you for that, Jesus. Matthew Henry said, wherever there is true grace, there is a desire for more grace. I love that. The Spirit is not deadening. He is addicting. That would be like the alcoholic becoming a godaholic. The evidence that you have him in you is this very thing. That you desire more of him. Is that you today? Do you desire more of Christ? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And if we're not, why aren't we? What's wrong? I think Pastor Jerry said it so well. He said, God, I pray for a desire to have a desire to be in your word. Give me a desire to have a desire to be in more prayer. God, give me a desire to have a desire to pursue you. And give me the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do that. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He tells me to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, and the only way I can do that is by pressing into him. The only way I can press into him is by asking the Spirit of God to help me to press into him, that he can press back into me and do what I need done. What I'm trying to do is strip each of us. I'm not actually trying to do this. I believe God is trying to do this. Of our pride. Of our self. Self gets in the way of what God wants to do in us. It is always self getting in the way. Self's issues, self's thinking, self's intellect, self's selfishness. You've heard it before. If I did an acronym with self, it would say Satan's exact location forever. I have to get beyond myself. I have to come to the end of myself that I would be opened up to receive all that he has. And then move in what he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. There's a challenge here. The third thing is the challenge to continue in your spiritual growth. We don't want to grow lazy. We don't want to grow fat in our chairs. We want to grow. God, give me a desire to have a desire to grow deeper in you because I can't do it on my own. God, give me a desire to have a desire to read your word because I read 3 chapters and I fall asleep. God, give me a desire to have a desire to walk with you. God, give me a desire to have a desire to walk away from the things of this earth that entangle me, that ensnare me. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we begin our spiritual growth? I really believe it's like what I was doing here, on our faces before God. Pastor James said something last week that it was beautiful, actually. He said, it felt like it was revival happening. Do you know what revival is? Revival is this. We were once alive. And we grew, what's the word? I want to be nice. We grew away from God. And he brings us back to life. He revived us. He blew breath of God into us, which brings us back to life. Lord, do that to me when I start to get stale. Do that to all of us when we start to walk away because other things become so big. Lord, bring that life into me when I'm engaged in my sin and it's overwhelming me and it's messing my life up. Breathe that life into me that I come back to you and I turn from that thing that's destroying me. That's revival. And that's what's going on here. After revival, I can once again run with endurance the race that is set before me. You know what? God is doing great things. I love running the race that he set before me. I love it. It's hard. And whenever it gets hard, I have to call on him or call on brothers and sisters to help me get through it with them. But what about you? When the race gets hard, do you have somebody that you can call on to help you go through it? You call on him to help you get through the difficult times. That you can get back into communion with God. It's revival. When you come to those places, that's revival. Acts 17:25 says, he is the one who gives to all life, breath, and all things. Christ is the foundation upon which our words and actions must be founded. For in him we live and move and have our being. It's always in him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to kind of pick this up here just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. Here's what we have resisted against. When we haven't gone to the cross yet, we haven't shed blood yet, but you have met resistance. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe you have met resistance from people. Not too many people nodding yes or no, so I'm not sure I'm getting across. I want you to think. Since you became a Christian, have you met resistance to your faith? Is that you? If you've met resistance, that's the start of things to come in your faith. Some of you embrace the resistance. I've seen it. Oh, there's a tell. This person doesn't know Jesus. I'm going to share with them. And they're going to reject you. Some might receive you, but that resistance is the beginning. My hope and prayer is that everybody in here has met that kind of resistance, and when you meet it, it lights something up within you, probably the Spirit of God within you, to come against that resistance in love. Not even for yourself, but for the glory of God. That's the call on the church. Paul was fine until he became a Christian. He met resistance all over the place. And Paul was actually fine until he began to speak to the people that didn't want to hear what he had to say. And he met more resistance. Paul's resistance ended up like Christ in that his life was required of him. Beatings and punishments. My resistance to this point is somebody saying bad things about me. Or calling me, you know, a church boy. Or a Jesus freak. Those are terms that they used to call me. Now they call me other things. Like, call me not to come over here because we don't want to hear what he has to say. But that resistance sometimes, if we do it in our own strength, is really difficult. And I just want to encourage you to be excited about the resistance because it's a tell. And what it's telling us is these people don't know Jesus. And it's telling me I have to do something. And then the Spirit of God does the work. I'm just a branch. He's the vine. He's going to lead me in that work. And I trust in it. And I look forward to it in Jesus' name. And then the last verse I'm just going to share with you right here, because of time on this, is we're called to flee. And this is in 2 Timothy. It says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. You can guess what those are. Fortunately, all the kids are in the back, so we can talk about what those are. Any sin that gratifies your flesh, flee them. Steer away from them. Those things become blocks and hindrances to you being about God's business. They become blocks and hindrances to you in your relationship with God at all. Flee them. Don't challenge them. Don't test them. Don't try and tempt yourself with them saying, I can overcome this. I have a problem with drinking, but I can go share Christ in a bar. I will meet with this woman and I'll spend this much time, but it'll be in a public place. Those kinds of things are tests, foolish tests that we're not supposed to engage in. Don't put yourself in that place where you're going to be tempted. You all know the Our Father, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if God's business in that prayer in Matthew is to lead us not into temptation, don't go walking into temptation. He's going to give you a way out. Don't look for another way back in. Why? Because it renders you ineffective. It messes you up. It messes me up. He told the disciples, I think it's Acts 1:4, he just gives them the command to go into Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. But then he says, but wait. Don't go yet. He doesn't want us to go yet and do the good work that he set before us to do until we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which he gives us in Acts 1:8. And the reason why I'm coming back to the Holy Spirit is everything that I've talked about, whether it be how I live, how I get right with God, how I go to do what he's called me to do, cannot be done effectively unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say filled, I mean even baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. That you move and operate because he lives and dwells in you and is moving you and operating in you. That's what we're called to do, and that is how we go about the ministry that He's put before us. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So at the end of the service today, two things are going to happen. There are going to be people over here in the prayer area. And this happened a couple weeks ago, but there's room for more. To say, I want that power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which doesn't mean going into the dunk tank. That just means that they're going to pray that the Spirit so fill you and so immerse you that you operate out of the power from God that's ignited in you because you've given Him the right to operate in you. And they're going to lead you in that prayer if that's what you want. Second thing that's going to happen is the pastors and I are going to head to the back room and meet anybody who would like to come up and say hello to us, tell us who we are, especially if you're new. So at this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and then if the prayer warriors could head over to the area, those that are going to pray. You can go there for special needs. You can go there for anything you need prayer for. But I'm going to encourage you, if you have nothing that you need prayer for, you can go ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit if that's what you want, if you want that in you. And see how your life transforms and how you live it out. If you don't know who Christ is, and you'd like to make Him your Savior, your Lord, the one who defends you, the one who is your advocate, the one who forgives you of everything you've ever done wrong, the one who loves you with a love that you can't comprehend. It's bigger than the love we understand. And you want to receive Him today? I just want you to slip your hands up. I'm going to pray a real general prayer. We'll pray together. The whole church will. Is there anybody that wants to do that? You've never done that before. You want to receive Jesus today. You all good? Everybody knows Jesus? Well, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for each person here in this room. I pray that by Your Spirit, You reveal to them and call them to the things. Call us. Me too. Call us to the things we need to be called to. Getting right with You. Repenting before You. Coming back to life in You. Stepping out and going forward in You. Pressing on because You give us the ability to. I pray that for each person here in this church. I pray that You do light a fire in each one of us to bring us to the places in our relationship with You that we need to be. And I pray for marriages right now. I just think in Your name, Lord Jesus, I think of marriages. That Your hand would be upon the marriages of the people of this church. That there would be a unifying. No divisions. I pray that there would be a unifying between brothers and sisters in Christ. And no divisions. I pray that we eradicate stupid, foolish arguments that cause division in Jesus' name. For those who are searching, who are questioning, thank You that they're searching. Thank You that they're questioning. Now I pray that by the Spirit of God, You reveal Your truth, the only truth, to those. I think of young adults and teenagers and children. That's my prayer for them. As they question You, give them the answers they need. I pray in Jesus' name.